Good morning, and welcome to worship at West Union Methodist Church. My name is Nick Deitman, and I serve on the Hospitality Ministries team. We are so glad you've chosen to worship with us during the holy season of Lent. Lent is a period of reflection and repentance as we prepare ourselves for Easter on April 4th. Many of the songs and words you'll hear today allude to this holy period. You'll find everything you need for worship today, including links to our hymns and our worship order, in the description section of the live feed. We also invite you to light a candle to represent Christ's presence with you today. We hope you feel God's presence, love, and grace during our worship together.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a beautiful day here in Nashville, and it's such a joy to welcome all of you who are here in the sanctuary and all of you who are joining us through live stream as together we worship God during this season of Lent. I'd like to invite those of you who are worshiping by live stream to register your attendance. There should be a link appearing on your screen, and you can copy that and paste it into your browser and let us know who you are and with whom you are worshiping this morning. If you have any prayer requests, you can also put those in at that time as well. Just a word about our service this morning. Sadly, we're having to reschedule the baptism that's printed in the bulletin. Everything is okay, but we do need to reschedule that, and we'll welcome that family soon into our worship. Other announcements as we prepare to continue through this season of Lent. As a reminder, we do have prayer stations available in the sanctuary from 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock today, and each Sunday at 11:30, we'll have a musical offering also in the sanctuary. So if you are worshiping from home but would like to spend a little time in prayer in the sanctuary today, we would love for you to come between 11 and 1. This afternoon, we're going to have a game day for children and youth and their families out in the parking lot. It starts at 3 p.m., We'll start out with a little friendly competition between all the ages before the children and youth break into groups for more games. Adults like me are invited to bring a chair and sit comfortably and cheer people on and talk and enjoy fellowship. If you didn't get a chance to RSVP, that's okay. We invite you to come on and join us anyway. Then at 5 o'clock this evening, we have our monthly Taizé service. A time of contemplative singing and prayer will be live streamed as always, but we do now welcome those who would like to come in person. There's no need to RSVP, but you do need to come a little bit early to go through our screening process and find a physically distant seat in the sanctuary. Finally, we've had 3 membership classes through the course of this past year. Even in the midst of a pandemic, we've had folks who have become part of our church family, who've joined the church, and we're going to have another membership class that will start on Sunday, April 11th at 9:45. Those classes will be over Zoom and will run for 4 weeks, and you can sign up at westendumc.org/membership, and we look forward to welcoming you and getting to know you. On this 5th Sunday of Lent, we follow Jesus to the tomb of Lazarus, and we witness his power, the power of life over death. So let us open ourselves to this miracle, to this story, as we enter into this time of worship together.
Lazarus, though dead, was called to life by Jesus. Let us praise God who has given us Jesus. God is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. God is near to all who call out in truth, listening to our cries for help and offering salvation. Trusting in these promises, let us confess our sins and seek God's pardon during this Lenten journey. Creator God, you are the one who gives us life. You made us in your image, and you created us to be caretakers. We confess this day that we have turned away from the gift of life at times. We have acted in ways that have wounded ourselves and our neighbors. We have turned away for those who cry out for help. We have hoarded resources for ourselves. We have caused harm and death in your beautiful creation. Have mercy on us, O God of love. Help us hear your words of hope and courage and healing. Fill us with your abundant life. Empower us to act in ways that bring abundant life to our neighbors and to our world. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
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 Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to John. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus. Lord, he whom you love is ill. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there's a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I've said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." the word of God for the people of God.
I want to take a special moment with the children. I know CJ's here in the back, and we have lots of kids who are joining us online, so I just want to take a moment with you all, especially. You may have heard the song that the choir sang at the very beginning of the service. Jesus' hands were kind hands, doing good to all. It was beautiful. Thank you for singing that. My understanding of that song is that it's actually a children's song, a song that helped children learn about Jesus and Jesus' kindness. It made me think of something that someone said 500 years ago. Her name was Teresa of Avila, and she loved God very much, and she prayed a lot, and she taught people, and one of the things that she taught was that Christ has no hands but our hands, no feet but our feet, no heart but our heart. Now, what do you think that means? I think it means that we are the people of God, and God wants us to do things to show God's love to other people. God doesn't want anyone in the world to be hungry or lonely. And so God wants us to use our hands to share food with other people, or maybe to give a hug to people who are lonely. God works through us and uses us to show God's love to people. So one thing that might be fun would be for you to talk with your parents or your friends and wonder, how could I use my hands to help other people? How could I use my mouth and say kind words to people? How could I use my feet to walk with someone who might need some help getting over the sidewalk? All sorts of ways we can use our hands, our feet, our ears to listen, to do what God wants us to do in the world. Let's pray. God, we know that you love everyone unconditionally, that you want everybody to be loved and to be happy and to be fed and to be free. So help us to use our hands, our feet, our mouths, our ears to help other people and to be part of that good work that you're doing in the world. And there's no act of kindness too small to make a difference. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we find ourselves this morning in the 11th chapter of John, the story of the raising of Lazarus. And it's actually a very long story, maybe the longest story in all the Gospels. It takes up the whole of chapter 11. And so we didn't want to ask Davis to read the whole chapter because he would have been up there for 20 minutes. So we had to pick the verses that seemed to help the story make sense for us as we listened to it. But there's a lot more going on in this story that I want to fill in for us, if that's okay with you. For one thing, this is Jesus' seventh and final miracle in the Gospel of John. John organizes his gospel around seven signs of Jesus, beginning with turning the water into wine, and going all through the Gospels to this one, the seventh sign, which is the greatest, bringing someone back from the dead. And it is this sign that stirs up so much controversy that Jesus eventually gets arrested. Now, at the beginning of chapter 11, Jesus and his disciples are going about their ministry, and they get a message from Martha and Mary. It's clear from John's gospel that Martha, Mary, and Lazarus have a special relationship with Jesus. There's an intimate kind of friendship there. And the sisters send a message to Jesus and say, "The one whom you love is sick." And they're asking Jesus to come and be with them, perhaps to come and heal their brother. But the way John tells the story, Jesus is very intentional about how he goes about this miracle. In fact, the way John tells his story throughout the gospel, he portrays Jesus as very much centered in his divinity. The other three gospels seem to focus a little bit more on Jesus' humanity, the limits he faced, the things that perhaps he didn't quite know about his future. But in John's gospel, it's a very, as theologians would say, a very high Christology, where Jesus is very much in charge, very aware of what's going on. And in this story, he intentionally waits to go and visit Lazarus. He intentionally gives time for the disease to take course and for Lazarus to die. The way John tells the story, it is Jesus' plan all along from the very beginning to raise Lazarus from the dead. And so I want us to keep that in mind, that Jesus has the plan. He knows what he's going to do. This is how it's going to all play out. And yet at the same time, there are things Jesus does in this story that are enlightening and inspiring. First of all, when he arrives and he greets Mary and Martha, and Lazarus has already died, and he sees their tears, and he sees all of their friends and community who have gathered around to grieve with them and to lament the death of Lazarus, he cries. You know, it's that two-word verse, Jesus wept, comes from this story. A short verse, but a powerful one. That Jesus, knowing he has power of life over death, knowing what he is about to do, even yet is able to grieve with these sisters and stand with them in their grief. And then he makes his way to the tomb of Lazarus, still disturbed in spirit, still disturbed by death and the power that it has had on this family. And then here's what he does. He says to all the people who have gathered there to grieve and lament, roll the stone away. Now, if Jesus has the power to raise someone from the dead, surely he has the power to roll the stone away himself. He could have done that. But instead, he invites all those who are gathered to do it, to participate in this miracle of bringing Lazarus back from the dead. Roll the stone away. And at first they're scared to do that. There's going to be a stench. It's going to be unpleasant. It's going to make us uncomfortable. But he tells them, trust me. Do as I say. And so they do. And then Jesus cries out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! And the dead man stands up and walks out of the darkness of the tomb, yet still wrapped in his funeral cloths, still blinded by the cloths that cover his head and still bound by the wraps. And so then again, Jesus says to those gathered there, you unbind him and let him go. What this says to me is that it reveals who God has been with us from the very beginning. God chooses to involve us in the work that God is doing in the world. In the very first story of creation, God invites the first human beings to till the soil and to care for the animals, to name the animals, to be stewards of the earth, to join with God in the work that God is doing. Just as Jesus has a grand plan in this story, God has a grand plan for all of creation, that all people would be loved and free and whole and healthy and well and cared for and fed. This is God's vision for God's creation. We live into that as a congregation. We believe God loves everyone unconditionally and wants every human life, every life on this earth to thrive. But in order for that to happen, God chooses, for whatever reason, to use us, to work through us. And here we see in this story a God who is a God of liberation, of setting people free from whatever it is that binds them. And my friends, we get to be part of that liberating work. Isn't that amazing? We get to help people hear the good news that they are loved. We get to help people release the bonds of whatever it is that oppresses them. We get to welcome people and free them. And in the process, be freed ourselves. I'm so grateful to be part of a congregation that is committed to this liberating, loving work. When I first came to this church and I saw in the bulletin all the recovery groups that were meeting downstairs, sadly, they're not able to meet in person right now, but that day's coming back. And this is a congregation that welcomes that work and that journey of recovery, knowing how important it is, how much it's God's work to help set people free from the bondage of addiction. I'm so grateful for our Sunny Day Club that welcomes people who are trapped in the bonds of a terrible disease of Alzheimer's, and yet to give them a place to come and be treated with dignity and to sing and to laugh and to play and be loved and whole, and to give their caregivers a time to rest and take care of themselves. That's liberating work. That's the work of the gospel. I'm so grateful to be part of a congregation that has made our welcome clear that you can come into this community of faith and be exactly who you are. And to say to our LGBTQ brothers and sisters and siblings that you are welcome here and you are freed from the bonds that have been placed on you to be who you were created to be. And that's true for all of us, that this is a place where we can all live into our gifts and into our identities and who we are and who God calls us to be. I'm so grateful that I've been invited and been led by others in this congregation and in our community to dig more deeply into the work of anti-racism. This week, we've been lamenting those horrible deaths in Georgia. And the light has been shined as the stone has been rolled away, and the light is now shining on some of what our Asian American friends have been experiencing over this past year. And we get to be part of changing that and making this world and this community a better place and a safer place for everybody. And as I've continued, I was part of a conference yesterday sponsored by the Skerritt Bennett Center. It was geared to white leaders like me. And what is the work that we can be doing to open our eyes to how our society is kind of built for us? We're just sort of the default. And how hard it is for others. And discovering that work of conversations around racism and all of that is not just working to liberate others, but it's setting me free. And the work that God is doing in the world, through us, around us, to build a world where all people are free and whole and loved and have enough, is work that we're invited into. So here are the good news, my friends. Whatever it is in your life that binds you, old labels that others have put on you or old resentments or whatever it is that is holding you, know and believe that our God is a God of liberation who wants to set you free. Hear the good news, my friends. We are part of the body of Christ, invited to join in this hopeful, exciting, joyful work of sharing God's freedom with the world in whatever ways we're called to do that. And when we worry that we don't have the courage or we don't have the energy or we don't have what it takes to be part of this work, because it gets hard at times, here's the best news of all. The The power in this story does not come from Lazarus, and it doesn't come from the people who were pushing the stone. It comes from Jesus Christ. And it is Christ's vision for the world. And if we can trust and believe and follow Christ one day at a time, we will have everything we need to use our hands, our feet, our mouths, our ears, to be free and to set others free. Thanks be to God.
As a people who have been unbound and set free, I invite you to rise in body or spirit as we affirm our faith with words found from page 883 in our United Methodist hymnal. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we come to our time of prayer, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you would like to share them with our pastoral team this morning, you may follow the link on our website that says Contact Us and simply submit your prayers there. The pastoral team gets together each week to pray over all of these prayer concerns. We celebrate this morning a birth, as indicated by the beautiful rose on our communion table. We rejoice in the birth of Madeline Eliza Bach, who was born on March 8th to Jenny and Kevin Bach. This morning, we remember our good friend, W.O. Green III, who passed away on Tuesday, March 16th. Among his survivors are his sons, Will and Jim Green, and his brother, Sam Green. A memorial service is being planned for April, and details of that will be announced soon. And now, let us go to our God in prayer. Lord, be with you. God of new life, as we look around us this week, we see signs of revival everywhere. In the greening leaves and the budding flowers, your creation is coming to life around us again, springing up from the dormancy of winter. As the warm sun shines on our skin and as the fresh spring air fills our lungs, we are like Lazarus, rising anew to the wonders of this life. God of living spirit, now as much as ever, we need your reviving presence. In the wake of a long and difficult year that has stretched from March to March, we pray for all who have suffered physically, emotionally, economically, or otherwise in the past year. May all who need new life find it. God who saves in the midst of death. We grieve this day as we remember the news out of Atlanta this past week of the killing of 8 persons. We pray for those lost and their families and those who love them. Lord, we especially lament the fact that 6 of those that are dead were Asian American women, reminding us of the ongoing and increasing stigmatization of persons in the Asian American and Pacific Islander communities. God of grace, we repent of our communal sin of racism. And we pray that you would awaken us to our death-dealing theologies and prejudices and ways of living. Help us recognize whenever we have contributed to the perpetuation of hate. We pray for our Asian American and Pacific Islander siblings this day. May they know relief from their fear, comfort in their sorrow, and peace in their lives. God of the resurrection, you have the power to make all things new. We pray for all who need your love this day, and we even pray for ourselves. No matter what ails us, no matter what troubles us, no matter what is happening in our lives, we know you are with us. Hear our prayers and the prayers on our hearts and minds as we enter a time of silent prayer. And now, as people assured of your power to bring life out of death, we pray as Jesus taught us by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we come to the part of our service where we give our tithes and offerings, we recognize that the pandemic has affected everyone differently. If you are unable to give at this time, we understand. And if you are in a position to give or give more than usual, we encourage you to do so. This will help us continue our vital ministries in this community and throughout the world. For those of you who are worshiping with us online, you are welcome to give via the options listed on the screen. For those of you worshiping in person, there are offering boxes in the narthex at the back of the sanctuary where you may leave your physical offering this morning if you would like. As we give our tithes and offerings this morning, let us also offer our hearts to our loving God.
place in wholeness and freedom and peace, to be the hands and feet, the ears, the mouths, and the heart of Christ, that the world might know wholeness and healing and hope. Amen.